You're listening to the Soul Source podcast. I'm your host, Raquel Amel. Soul Source exists to share stories that are shaping our world today. We go straight to the source of the information to give you the best insight on topics and show you what's being done about these issues, as well as how you can help make a difference. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
Women generally start businesses as opposed to buying existing businesses. So if we want more business growth in our economy locally and throughout the United States, we want to continue to encourage those women to start businesses.
Hello, I'm your host, Raquel Amel. And you know, we're all under stress right now, but business owners are juggling a little more stress than most these days. Working in a small business, I know the stress it can bring to a company every day. Questions like, how am I going to pay employees? What will I do if COVID-19 comes back or even hits my business? Luckily, the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation has resources and is ready to help. WBIC has a COVID-19 fast-track loan program and has the financial resources to help you grow and strengthen your women-run business. To learn how they can help, visit WWBIC.com. Hello, everyone. You may have noticed that was a little bit of a different intro than most of our intros into this show if you've been a regular listener here on Soul Source. And you know what? There is a reason for that. You're listening to our very, very first installment of our Small Business Conversations. These will be with different small business organizations and small business owners each third Monday of the month. So once a month, we're talking with small business owners, many of them female small business owners, about what's impacting them today. You may remember that we talked about launching this series with my boss, Lisa Cruz, owner of Red Shoes, Inc., the company that makes this podcast, Soul Source, possible. We had talked about why we were doing that and the reasoning behind this new series in that's episode 12 of Soul Source. And today we're kicking that series off. And my first guest is Wendy Bauman. She's the president of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, also known as WWBIC or WBIC. Wendy, welcome to Soul Source.
Thank you. Thank you, Raquel. Thank you so much.
I'm really thankful to have you on the show today. And I'm looking forward to talking with you because WBIC, it's an amazing organization for small business owners. And although your title and focus is on women, you guys do work with men as well. Explain to me a little bit about WBIC, what WBIC is and what you guys do.
Sure. Well, we've been around, we were founded in 1987, and we really came out of the women's economic empowerment movement and out of the microlending movement way before Dr. Muhammad Yunus with his Nobel Peace Prize, and microlending was really sort of on the horizon. So that's our roots. Our roots are tied to women, serving women, people of color, lower wealth individuals, and really in the last 10 years, we've also done an additional focus on veterans and military-connected families. And as a side note, 85% of military spouses are women. So why that is there was in 1987, and unfortunately today in 2020, there still is an unlevel playing field as it relates to women globally, locally, and in Wisconsin, people of color. We've seen that specifically in the last year with, you know, a crisis around social justice. Lower income individuals, we like to think of our lower wealth individuals as pre-rich, the lower wealth individuals. And then definitely there's that unlevel playing field for veterans coming back from serving our nation and coming back and folding into the workforce or thinking of starting a business. So WBIC really works at that unlevel playing field to try to level it. And what we do is we provide business as well as financial educational programming, coupled with access to what we see as fair and responsible capital, specifically loans for businesses to start, grow, or accelerate. So we're very centered on the people whom we serve. Anybody can come to WBIC, and they do. However, where we're going to spend our time with resource allocation and focus and aligned partnerships will again be around women, people of color, lower wealth, and veterans communities.
Okay. And here at Soul Source, we've got listeners that are all across the globe. Some of them in Europe, we've got listeners in Africa, Asia, Australia, and of course, all over the United States. So for those that are not in Wisconsin, hearing that you're the Wisconsin Women Business Initiative, they might wonder, well, how is this episode helpful to them? Well, there's lots of ways it can be helpful. Tell me a little bit about how you guys have a global impact.
Well, a couple things. One is that I've had the opportunity of serving as president for 26 years plus, so a little bit of time. And during that period of time and how sort of I view the world, and part of that goes back to background. My mother, professor of political science, So I grew up with being a citizen of the world, not only being a citizen of Wisconsin and of the United States. So I sort of grew up with that backdrop. I've traveled around the world, and that provides a great deal of insight. Pretty much the only areas I haven't been in very much is Asia, but I've traveled in Africa, extensively throughout Europe, Latin America, and other areas. And so that exposure to things really makes a difference too. But how I like to think about that is, yes, our organization really provides services primarily in Wisconsin, a little bit with our veterans reach in Illinois and Minnesota. But we are still an organization that is a little bit with the sisterhood and brotherhood of others around the country and around the world that are looking at positively impacting the lives of women, people of color, and lower wealth. And to give some idea on that is that, you know, we really at WBIC around economic empowerment are about the glass half full. So we look at situations that sometimes seem dire, and I'll, you know, share a couple of these comments here. I was able to speak a couple times at the UN about really global women and economics, but development that is not engendered is endangered. And I shared that, and I was a little bit like, ooh, I'm presenting at the UN. I was not even sure how I got there, but it's through some connection. Wendy, you'd be great. Could you share a couple comments at this committee meeting and that committee meeting? So I did, and it was an honor. But at that, after I shared that, I remember walking out, a lot of security you have to go through at the UN, and this was 15 years ago. And I remember this British gentleman who was actually on the high part, you know, sort of a panel presentation, and he said, the halls of the UN will never be the same after your comment. And he said, development that is not engendered is endangered. So I go, wow, maybe I did have a little bit of influence with that committee and that panel at the time at the UN. But to look at some statistics here, women live in poverty at a greater rate than men. Households with children are among the poorest. Women are the sole owners in 42% of households worldwide. Women hold only 25% of parliamentary seats worldwide, while we're 51% of the population. Wow. Women are 50% of the world's 25.9 million refugees. So that's the glass that's half empty here. So what we want to look at is how we can make that half full. So women worldwide are likely to put more income into the family household than male counterparts, drive literacy, push mortality rates down, and raise the gross domestic product. So to me, it's really about this sense of leveraging the power of women, specifically economically, to make the world a better place. So there are WBIC-like organizations that I've met with and have dialogued with that are in Africa, many that are in Europe throughout, maybe not exactly the same, but advancing women in economy and finance and starting businesses, large businesses, small businesses. And certainly throughout the United States, there's approximately 120 women's business centers funded through the Small Business Administration, WBIC being one of them, with really four funded centers in the state of Wisconsin. So we think of ourselves as our job is specifically the state of Wisconsin and those areas, but we're part of that larger network of impacting lives on an economic basis, specifically around women. And again, you know, not necessarily need millions of emails, but if any of the viewers of this want to get in touch with me, I would do my very best to try to connect them with individuals that are doing this kind of work, you know, in their nation, in their area. The other part is, you know, we choose to be part of the international world and the global world. I've attended really all of the global microcredit summits when those were going over a period of about 15 years. One was in Spain, in Valladolid, one was in Colombia, a couple were in New York, Washington, D.C., Halifax. If WBIC is part of advancing microlending and microenterprise in the state of Wisconsin, we're part of that global movement, and we need to be a part of that global movement. So not only did I attend those sessions, but in almost every single case also presented to people from Africa, to people from Latin America, to people from Europe, to people from the United States, on what we're doing in this part of the world effectively, and we think fairly well. And doing that, not just for the sake of doing it and sharing it, but could some of those practices, could some of those ways be modeled in other nations? As well, we attend because we don't know it all. And so why we want to attend is here, how does that work, that microlending in Africa through a crowdsourcing model called Kiva that we then later studied and were one of the first 10 cities in the United States to launch Kiva, Wisconsin. Now with staff members, hundreds of Kiva loans that complement our WBIC programming. So it's give and get, it's give and receive, and it's learning. And I really think that if you're part of an industry or part of something, that you want to look at it far more simply beyond the borders of a city, a state, a nation.
So this is a topic that I'm really interested in. I personally have done some research on the global level, but then also like on the state level, because I'm very passionate about women's issues. And I serve actually on the Women's Fund of the Fox Valley region. It's an organization aiming to empower women and girls. And I've read numerous books on women's issues, including Melinda Gates's book, Power of Lift. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
I know of it, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it outlines a lot of what you just mentioned, those gender inequality issues and how it's so essential for women to be on an equal playing field with everybody to lift up an entire community. So do you see many of those same things, you know, here with your work where women, you know, are by lifting women up, you lift everybody up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I really believe in lifting people up, but I will share that when I took on this job 26 years ago with WBIC, before that, I was a director for small business development at Milwaukee Area Technical College. And I really thought I was going to spend my whole career there. It was just fabulous. It was providing, you know, outreach and education around small businesses. And all small businesses, women, again, sort of lower income individuals, community businesses, businesses owned by people of color. But it was really a variety. And someone had suggested that I apply for this job at WBIC that was open. And I actually said at the time, I said, you know, I'm not sure really women is my issue. I was a little bit more behind lower wealth individuals. How can we use the economy to support lower wealth individuals and around really racial justice? Because again, life circumstances, that's not necessarily appropriate for this podcast, but life circumstances that give you that piece about you want to spend your time and your might to make things better or to improve things along with others. But I casually tossed my resume in, and again, the title of our organization is Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative. And I was interestingly surprised at that time. I mean, like 58 right now, so I was in my, you know, upper 20s or something like that then in my career. And I really did not realize that there was as much inequality with women as there was. Now being a lead in an organization that had women's in its title, it was an eye-opening experience. I hadn't experienced that really yet as a professional in work. I grew up with a mother, born in Plymouth, Wisconsin, small town, went to high school as many women did at that time, went on and got her college degree, not as common. Went on and got her PhD at the University of London with a Marshall Scholarship, married quite late, you know, at the age of 30, which was late, and had my sister and I. She ran for Congress in the 60s, professor of political science, director of the Institute of World Affairs. I'd have ambassadors over at my house, senators over at my house, congressional leaders, all led by my mother. My dad, a great career, but in human resources. So I didn't see that women weren't running the world and ruling the world. And it didn't happen until later in my career that I go, well, that's interesting. I'm the only woman here in this group. That's interesting. Why are all men talking to me about this? That's interesting. Why do we need sort of a special support program for women in business? And so it really was an eye-opening about the inequality that still existed, and as we still see does today, i.e. women are not paid as much as their male counterparts and many other issues we could talk about. So that really brought a little bit more of a fervor to say, okay, we've got to use this organization to, again, level the playing field. Now, part of it with women in business is not simply that I'm a woman and so therefore I'm disadvantaged or I have this, but women generally start businesses as opposed to buying existing businesses. So if you walk that through from a financing standpoint, a bank has a much easier time of financing a business that's existing under new ownership with a track record than it does in terms of a startup business. So that's a piece that sometimes you have to weave in and take a little bit deeper look why there is some of these inequities around that. But I will say that, and many studies have shared, and I'm not an expert with it, that women have, and still in some ways, need to work on sometimes some of the self-esteem issues. And it could be for a variety of different reasons. But I mean, I still see that in the workplace. I see it still with our employees and our team. I see it still with clients coming to us. And while our job is to provide that quality business and financial education programming, sometimes there's some issues about other things that we need to bring out to assist in empowering them.
Do do you guys kind of help women? Like if they're having like those self-esteem issues that you mentioned, or maybe they don't speak up enough in a room and things like that, do you guys kind of assist there?
Carefully. Again, our really bread and butter is about the business and financial education programming, but the delivery of how we go about doing things, I think, is a very positive delivery using cooperative learning techniques, using speakers coming in, leading by example with our facilitators and our team members, all in a very positive, empowering format. So for instance, one of our, a little bit more of a vignette program is around financial capability, financial empowerment, financial literacy. We call it financial capability and empowerment. And there we're really helping individuals, 95% are women, lower wealth individuals, put together a budget. And so how do you do that? You do it, we feel we do it effectively by not saying, nope, nope, can't do this, nope, 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 but rather empowering the individuals for them to put it on paper, for them to make those smart decisions, for them to own those kind of behaviors. That's the way, and by teaching that through the financial capability aspect of things, maybe that might go to other aspects of their lives. So for example, we don't say, you can't buy Diet Coke. But instead we say, maybe a strategy is to buy, would you want to buy Diet Coke every single day where you work for a dollar in the vending machine, or do you want to buy it at the corner grocery store that's right across from your work for 75 cents, or do you want to buy it at Sam's Club blank grocery store for 50 cents, or do you want to even buy it when it's on sale for 35 cents? It's your dollar.
Just giving them the options, the power to choose.
Exactly it. And, you know, people feel very empowered when they have the ability to choose and they feel that they are in control. That is really true empowerment. So that would be an example of through content, but a way of delivery that we think guides individuals in becoming empowered also. And that's men and women.
Yeah. No, that's an awesome approach to take. And I want to talk a little bit about women as far as the role that they play in the community, because women make a lot of decisions. So talk with me a little bit about how important women are when it comes to a community and its success.
You know, really, when you analyze it, women make huge numbers of decisions. We're still the majority of voters. And so that voice is very important. Not only now, it always has been important, maybe even more now in our world. Not making any political statements, but the importance of that voice and that vote. Women are the sole decision makers in the vast majority of purchasing decisions, and that's sort of corporate purchasing as well as individual family purchasing of items, grocery sales, technology items, because again, women make a lot of those decisions and are those procurement agents in major corporations still basically choosing on that different procurement, as well as in the family unit, often the influence of a woman is very significant. So I'll give one fun example. For a while, I was on an advisory board for Office Depot. And it was, you know, just really the top people at Office Depot, the president, the CEO, the top VPs laying out Office Depot's huge growth and so on. And they put together a women's council. Well, once they really began to do the work, they found that 97% of all of their procurement, that's retail sales, women going in there and buying things for themselves or buying things for their families, the back to school supplies for the household, what have you, for small businesses, as well as women being very, very key in corporations, procuring again office supplies for major corporations, small, medium, and large. That 97% of their sales were really responsible by women. And so I remember the CEO almost having an about the face. He's going, why do we even, you know, we don't need a vignette program to market to women. I mean, we should be spending all of our resources in marketing to women. So some very cool things they did at that time is they made some of those stores, pilot stores that were women friendly. So they went through, what do women buy? How does this go? And they did such things as having things conveniently located in front when you walk in the store. People come in for a ream of paper. People come in for the exchange of printer cartridges, what have you, what have you. So they actually designed a woman-friendly store with resources on starting businesses was a big part of it, other resources and other issues that might be more of an interest to a woman or what have you. And it was very successful. The very first one was in New York City. So that's just an example of what corporations, I think, continually need to wake up to is the power of the choice of women as consumers.
That is so smart. And it sounds like it was a great success for that company.
It was.
Awesome. So I know WBIG works a lot with women-owned businesses and entrepreneurs. Why are women as business owners? We talked about the power of choice when it comes to consumers and buying, but why is it so important to have a woman business owner in the economy, and what kind of impact does that have in the business sector?
Yeah, I'll just talk a little bit, just a couple statistics here. This speaks specifically to Wisconsin women, but Wisconsin is home to almost 3 million women, and that's about 0.5% of the population. Mm-hmm. White women, 85% of the state of Wisconsin are individuals who are white, but white women make up a larger proportional share in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin population of women also is far more rural than other states. So that's a couple snapshots there. As it relates to women in business and the economy, I mean, some really important statistics here. What do I have here? In terms of the economy, women control 60% of all personal wealth in the United States. 40% of women out-earn their husbands. Women equal 43% of Americans with assets over $500,000. And women earn 40% of the U.S. GDP. So it is very significant, women's economic piece. And so we need to keep it strong. We need to keep it growing. Also, the part that I shared before, women generally start businesses as opposed to buying existing businesses. So if we want more business growth in our economy locally and throughout the United States, we want to continue to encourage those women to start businesses. Efforts have also been made across the nation to try to grow women-owned businesses through accelerator programs, program way back, Nell Merlino from that created the Take Your Daughter to Work Day, now Take Your Daughter and Son to Work Day, also created an initiative called Make Mine a Million to try to grow women-owned businesses past that $1 million mark. One, for the sake of maybe there is needed to be additional strategies for the growth and acceleration of such businesses, but for the sheer fact of job creation, adding products and services to our economy, and making our nation a more solid place in terms of the economy and small and medium-sized businesses. So it's a tool that we want to keep sharp. It's a tool we want to leverage. It's a tool we want to use. And we need to keep advancing it.
Yeah. So we're kind of living in a time of change right now. And there's been a big spotlight that's been put on diversity and inclusion. And why is it so important, from your lens, to make sure that everybody has a seat at that table? You talked about business growth and how women start businesses, but more than that, and I'm thinking, I personally work at a women-owned business, and I know that there's just some things that are in place at a women-owned small business that tend to benefit women more. And by that, I mean, we've got, certain flexibilities, right, for, mothers with children, because she's a woman, she gets it. So that's just one example. But women, they take a different role within society and they have a little different mindset. So why is it so important to have so many people at the table like that?
Well, it's about equity and inclusion, which that centers our table. So, WBIG is an example of which I'm one of the leaders of it. We believe in hope and opportunity for our clients. Hope is a beautiful thing, but without opportunity, it's hard to simply advance hope. So that's been the center of WBIG's table. And that hope and opportunity is by providing that quality business, financial education, and then for the business aspect, fair and responsible capital to start that business. The second piece we believe in is equal justice under the law for all. And that's for women, it's for people of color, it's for everybody. And we believe that. And we also know and have always known that Black Lives Matter. And so that's part of WBIG's fabric that's just around all the time. With our workforce, it's very diverse, and diverse from a gender standpoint, an ethnic standpoint, really trying to continue to advance the cultural competency of our organization and to lead by example and show that. So when individuals come to us, they see other individuals that look like them, that can relate to them. And it's just very important. It's greater ideas. It's inclusivity of so many other things that make things just great. I'm involved in an organization called Milwaukee Women, Inc. And all the studies have shown that by advancing women in the executive suite of major corporations and women on boards of directors, corporate boards of directors, private, that generally that goes with a significant economic positive growth, as well as just again looking at things in different ways, being more inclusive in terms of even product development, strategic planning, and the rest. So all the studies show this, it's just question mark if everybody always reads all those studies around it. Generally, women-led organizations, be it an organization of a nonprofit or be it a for-profit business, do provide greater flexibility around benefits, around flex leave, around family leave, and so on. At WBIC, we've done this forever. When I started out WBIC, I was not married at the time. I had four young children. I know I needed that flexibility. I know WBIC was going to get their 40 hours plus, but maybe it was a little bit here and a little bit there and over the weekend to be able to adjust some of the juggling that one has to do, you know, around having young children. And that's how we lead this organization. There's often a baby around, especially before the whole COVID, you know, a baby around here, a toddler around at different times. And again, it just sort of also brings another dynamic to the office. It's real. We're all real. We're all having families and relationships and so on. And it doesn't necessarily hinder the work and the goal of an organization, but it can add to it. So that flexibility is a huge positive piece for the workplace. And I know people are very, you know, grateful here about that flexibility.
I love that part about being real, because I feel like right now, especially with everyone working from home and Zoom meetings, man, that is so evident.
And we laugh and we smile and we hear a baby in the background, a cry, a dog growling. It's just, this is life. And this is the life and the cards that we're dealing with right now. And there's a beautiful aspect of it. And again, we're a little bit more looking at the glass half full, as hard as things are right now. We believe that we're the front line for economic development, and we have to do everything we can do in our power to assist the micro and small businesses that we've had the opportunity of working with, that are in our loan portfolio, that are in the state of Wisconsin, that are listening to us now.
So I know you speak of these three phases, and I want to talk to you a little bit about them. Awake, woke, and work. Talk with me a little bit about what you mean, what that is.
Well, you know, sometimes I think, you know, people need to wake up to things. Again, that every single year, I mean, one of my pet peeves is that women aren't paid the same as men. And here they are at WBIC. And I just always just pound corporations on that day of equal pay day to think that we're still living in the United States in a cartoon where qualified, experienced, educated women are not paid the same as their male counterparts is ludicrous. And so part of it is that maybe we just need to awaken some individuals around that, show the resource search, show the information, show again, women on corporate boards, it's gonna excel that board, it's gonna sell that corporation. You want to do those type of things. 51% of the population in the United States, again, are women. So why wouldn't you wanna do something like this? So part of it is waking people up. And we do that carefully. We try to do it in a professional and friendly manner. But that's a stage that's important. And then once they're woken up, it's like, what else can they do? You don't want to just be great. Okay, we have two women on our 10 member board. We're good. Check off the list. You know, that's not an example if you want. Oh, yeah, we buy from some women-owned business. It's good. What do you mean? I have, you know, two women on my executive team of 20. You know, you don't want that. You want to really be not the token aspect of things, but to see the benefits, again, of an inclusive and an engendered working environment. And I thought, what was my last one? Focus?
Work. Awake, woke, and work.
Work. Well, it just, at the beginning of the day, you know, when people say to me that at the end of the day, they go, like a staff member will say, I'm tired. And I go, excellent, good. At the end of the day, you're supposed to be tired. At the end of your lifetime, you're supposed to be dead tired. So I think we all need to keep working at things. We need to be that full and whole wheel that, yes, we are a member of a team, an employee, part of a work environment, but there's also other things that we need to look at and advance and work on. And you need to have an agenda for that. You know, again, not just women, but I'd say women specifically. And we do need to think a little bit more about global citizenship. And we need to think more about not just our family members, but all young girls and young women and young boys and young men and advancing them. You know, sometimes I'll see individuals and they say, well, you know, what boards are you involved in? And, you know, they're on their golf club board or a country club board, and they're on their school's support group. And it's just all so insular. It's so taking care of oneself. And so Rotary, I've been part of Rotary International for almost over 30 years. Former assistant district governor, past president, still actively involved in Rotary. And the adage of Rotary is service above self. So that's part of my view and my thought on work, is that at least in part, there's got to be at least one thing, people, that you do that is about service above self.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then so much of what Wibbick does is serving and helping so many people.
Absolutely. That grounds us and centers us each day.
What challenges do women business owners, we talked about this a little bit, but specifically women over men, we talked about the pay gap. What other challenges do women face, though, when it comes to the workforce that their male counterparts just don't and may not even be aware of?
Yeah. Well, from a business perspective, again, it's that they start businesses, so harder to finance is difficult. And then overall, both men and women, but specifically with small businesses, is that they really do need to focus on their marketing plan and their marketing niche. Again, a lot of businesses, well, everybody will buy this. Everybody will take this service. No, they won't. The sooner you understand your market niche, the more successful you will be at a business in terms of maybe an age demographic, a regional demographic, a type of individual, a type of corporation that's going to buy it. So really niching that small business is a very successful piece that we've seen over time. And then also understanding your financials and using your financials as a management tool, not using your financials to do the books, to do your taxes, to do your items, are sort of two key parts. In the workplace, still, there remains, and I don't want to be negative on men, but there still remains a male dominant way in many, many ways. And it might be, again, you know, the old glass ceiling. It might be, again, the aspect of not having awoken yet to understand some of the dynamics that occur. You know, using maybe golfing as an example, there's still women, I think, got into golfing so they could get into golfing so they could be part of those conversations that are conversations that are really important as it relates to advancing at the workplace and understanding information and inside scoop and inside information. So there's still a lot of things there that have to be very purposeful to really fully include women in the workplace. The positive things we've seen is that there has been an awakening and the importance of women's affinity groups within major corporations to really look at this, to set targets, to set goals, to provide mentoring programs. That's very positive. And there are many, many corporations that have set up women's affinity groups as well as other affinity groups, realizing that we're a little bit shy here. We don't have this all right, and we don't have all the answers. But maybe through this affinity group, they'll provide us with some generous, good thoughts, ideas, solution-driven ways that we can advance, and all will win. They will win as employees, productive, grow in their careers, professional development, and we as a corporation will retain top talent as well as, you know, be able to even attract greater talent because we have some of these things in place. So I see a lot of good movement. It's a little bit slow, though. A little bit slow for me.
Yeah. Well, and so to that point then, you know, we're trying to move that dial. You guys are helping in that department. So what are some of the programs and ways that Wibbick helps women-owned small businesses, but not just women-owned, small businesses in general?
Yeah, well, again, last year we saw over 5,000 unduplicated clients through our business and financial educational programming. So those are unduplicated. 5,000 people took a class, multiple of classes or unit, and sort of divided into, I'm thinking of starting a business. I have the light bulb over my head. I have this idea. And we help them out with, are you an entrepreneur? Is that business idea viable? We ask the tough questions. They have to provide the answers to see if they're interested and they are ready to move to that next step of starting a business venture. And sort of the bread and butter is business planning. We try to do it as creatively as we can, and we think we do a good job of it, but really a plan is needed. Who, what, when, where, why. It can be a tight, quick, down and dirty canvas approach, or it can be really a comprehensive, little bit longer business plan. You need the story part, the words to explain what this business is about, who's going to operate it, what it looks like, and then you need the number part. And the story part and the number part have to coincide together. Mm-hmm. And then the third area of our business educational programming is for those already in business that might be struggling a little bit and need to take a little bit more of a view in some areas. And or they're doing well and they're poised for growth and want to really look at accelerating or want to really look at long-term growth for their business venture. So those are sort of the areas. Last year, 85% of that business education programming was done on ground, meaning evenings and weekends, coming to our Wibbick offices in the Northeast, Southeast, Southwest, South Central, Greater Milwaukee areas, and coming to a live class with a live facilitator and learning as a group in a cooperative learning style. So 15% was online and on demand. Obviously, through the health epidemic and global economic crisis, we've flipped that to now 100% delivering our business and financial education programming virtually and on demand.
So if someone is looking for some help with these resources, we mentioned the website, but give it to me again. And then if there's a way to reach you specifically, if they want to talk to you about something.
Sure. So our website is www.wibic.com. You can go right into registering for classes and education opportunities 24/7, apply for a loan. Our staff is listed on there. Links are listed on there. My email should be listed on there so you can see our team members, see our staff, see upcoming programs that we're doing, affiliations and partnerships, look at past media. That's been things that have been written about WIBIC, and then a lot of tools, a lot of resources and a lot of tools. I think it's a fairly decent website. You can certainly call our offices too. We still believe in people calling us. In the old days or different days, we believed in people stopping by, and the world will get better, and that will come again where you can actually stop by our offices and we can provide direct information for you. We are in the process of reopening offices. Right now we're doing meetings by appointment only, but again, our team is very accessible virtually.
Perfect. And then last question for you is, do you have to be a member to access these materials? Are they available for everyone?
Yeah, not at all. We're not a membership organization. Sometimes I feel like maybe we should and I should charge all the members. But no, we are not a membership organization. We're a statewide innovative economic development corporation. A good deal of our business educational programming is no cost. Some things are cost depending on books and materials that we need to pass through those costs. Obviously, there's an interest rate for the loans we provide, but again, it's not usury. It is fair and responsible capital. So again, I believe that WIBIC has and continues to provide really quality resources and business education programming and that access to that capital in a very formidable manner.
Fantastic, Wendy. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me and joining us here on SoulSource today.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. And if you want to hear more Soul Source, subscribe to our show. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. And if there's something that you want us to talk about on the show, we can do that too. We have a Facebook group called the Soul Source Society. It's where we interact with our listeners, share special content only seen in that group, talk about shows, get ideas for future podcasts, and overall, just have a lot of fun. That's Soul Source Society on Facebook. We hope to see you there. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency specializing in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.